Fans, great to have you back here. As Giants and Dodgers coming up, it's Logan Webb on the hill today for the San Francisco Giants coming off the IL. And Julio Urias on the other side, 7 walks and 70 strikeouts. My goodness, this is going to be something today. But last night was one of those epic games, and it's a pleasure to talk baseball with Mark Simon of Sports Info Solutions. Mark A. Simon says on Twitter, and I love talking ball. And Mark, last night, I know you're on the East Coast. I hope you stayed up for this one. But the last couple of innings were just epic, epic Giant Dodger baseball.
I very much stayed up for it. I was almost going to text you, actually, to just comment on the wackiness of it between the Buster Posey home run and then the game-tying home run with 2 outs, which I certainly didn't expect Rodgers, who never gives up a hard-hit ball, to give up a hard-hit ball that, you know, gets over the fence by a little bit. And then it just struck me that I wouldn't want to have the Giants' side in a extra inning game against the Dodgers, because the Dodgers have a lot of relievers, interchangeable kind of guys that they can throw out there. And once you've used McGee and Rodgers, boy, it's a pick'em. And last night, it was fortunately the Giants' pick'em was better than what the Dodgers had to offer. I was a little surprised by that.
Well, Buehler struggled a little bit. As I said, it was Ferris Buehler's day off for him, but still with that, he had an amazing line. DeSclafani couldn't really hit the glove, and then it turned into a bullpen game, and then the Albert Pujols play, and I know you've seen great catches in your lifetime, but Talkman really timed it, and he went over the wall to get it, to bring it back, and Pujols thought he had it. It was amazing.
Yeah, that was fantastic. I was convinced off the bat. I was like, that's the appropriate way for this to end. Barnes hits the 3-run homer, and then, you know, then Pujols just follows it up and does his typical home run thing that would have tied him for the all-time record for walk-off home runs with Jim Thome. But instead, the Giants get a home run robbery, and it was the first time that a Giant robbed someone of a home run in the 9th inning since Randy Wynn in 2007. I don't know if you remember this game against the Blue Jays. 1-run lead in the 9th inning. Randy Wynn went over the fence to take away a home run and preserve a 3-2 Giants win.
Wow. No, I didn't remember that, but good for Randy Wynn. I think he's doing the post game, pre and post, with Greg Papa this weekend. Boy, but what a game. And, of course, the Padres win last night in 11 innings. They score 7 runs in the extra inning. And now Dodgers-Giants tied, and the Padres with a game-and-a-half lead. Well, this is some race, and we're at the one-third mark coming up on Monday. Second base hurt the Giants a little bit last night, not turning double plays smoothly, but Dubon got a shot at him, and maybe we'll talk to Wotus tomorrow about it. A little bit of English on it, but it opened the door for the Dodgers in the 9th inning.
Yeah, it's whoever they've put at second base this year has not, obviously we've commented here about Wilmer's struggles at second base, but LaStella or Solano or Dubon, it just seems like there's something bad going on there. In terms of like our analytics, we can look at like each team by position, and I can tell you that the Giants second baseman rank last in the league in terms of the defensive skills, turning balls into outs, getting outs on ground balls, all those sorts of things. They're last. There are only a couple of positions in baseball that are worse than them. Right now, the standard setter for bad is Philly's third baseman, which is Alec Baum, who can hit. So he keeps playing. But I think that's a list that you really don't want to be on. And right now, the Giants are there.
Boy, you know, as you're talking, it just made me think of the possibility of doing away with the shift and actually putting the second baseman where he normally played. So many more balls would go through. It would be incredible how many balls would go through the infield if they go back to the second baseman having to be in that one spot, 2 infielders on that side on the dirt. Do you ever think about that?
Yeah, our studies have indicated that you are correct on that. I think that that's fair. That's why teams put that second baseman in short right field, because they know that they can take away hits that way.
Mm. Well, of course, when Pujols is up, Crawford played short left field. It reminded me of the old Ernie Lombardi days, because, you know, you could kind of throw
Hang on, you're old enough to remember that?
Well, I read about it. Let's put it that way. I read about it.
Got it.
Hey, the pitching matchup today, I've talked about it on the show today. We've all set it up. It's classic Giants-Dodgers, the young kid, Logan Webb, going back out on the mound today off the IL. And the guy on the other side is 24 years old. It seems like he's been around 10 years already. But the 7 walks, 70 strikeouts, Urias, what do you think of this matchup?
Yeah, we'll start with him because he's insane right now. He's been terrific, even though his ERA is a little higher maybe than you would think it would be. This month he has 38 strikeouts and 1 walk. Normally you would be like wowed by that, but remember there was a pitcher in April, Corbin Burns of the Brewers, who had 49 strikeouts and no walks. So this seems to be a thing in baseball this year. It reminds me, though, too, that the Giants had a pitcher who had a strikeout run like that, a strikeout-to-walk ratio like that, in May 2017, Jeff Samardzija, 49 strikeouts, 1 walk. If you remember the early part of his career with the Giants. But, yeah, he's been great. His curveball's awesome. Top 3 in the league in terms of getting outs on curveballs. Opponents' batting average is low against it. He's wrecking hitters with that pitch. He did it for the Giants in his last start with his curveball. Logan, the last 2 starts before the injury, had a lot of good stuff in them. 2 starts ago, it was the slider. Slider was very good in his last start, got him 7 outs, only allowed 1 hit with it. The thing to watch with him is he's getting more chases. Like, he's right at the major league average for chases right now, whereas last year he was completely reliant on trying to get guys out in the strike zone. Now he's able to expand the zone a little bit, and he's been able to get more outs that way.
Well, I love the changeup and the slider. I really love the changeup. We've seen that develop even in spring training. So we'll see if he's got it today. You got to get these guys off balance. We'll see Bellinger in the lineup today against Logan Webb. The Cubs. I've been talking about the Cubs all week. 17-7 in May. Of course, I think the wild cards are coming out of the West. But the Cubs are starting to play some baseball. They've got a nice rotation. The Cardinals still in and out. And the East, where you are, it's still, even though your team's in first place, the Mets, I'm still not sure what's happening there. But I'm starting to watch the Cubs.
Yeah, the Cubs are the team to watch. I was watching last night, yesterday afternoon, rather. They won 1-0. And the thing that they have right now that, quite frankly, the Giants don't necessarily have, is that lockdown bullpen at the end of the game. Kimbrel's got a sub-1 ERA. He's the closer, 12 saves this season, averaging a strikeout and a half per inning. They've got other guys that are setting him up that have been really good. Winkler, Tapera, Chafin, Rex Brothers. Those guys have all been good. Kyle Hendricks also has been much better lately. His season got off to a dreadful start. And then his last 2 or 3 outings, he's been much better. They have a lot of veteran pitchers, and they have Chris Bryant basically carrying the offense right now. He's playing for cash money, free agency, 600 slugging, 320 average, 11 home runs. He's in a year where nobody's hitting. He looks like an MVP.
And the Cubs come in here next weekend. 4 with the Cubs, so I'm glad we're talking Cubs baseball. 17-7 in May so far. A lot of history going on in Major League Baseball today, and one that I really read about this week a little bit in the Horace Stoneham book. 1971, the 50th anniversary of trading George Foster, Fearless Foss, to the Cincinnati Reds, where he became an MVP and a 50-homer guy.
Yeah, so this is George Foster represents essentially my introduction to baseball, along with Dale Murphy, and I guess to a smaller extent, Keith Hernandez. Those were the first really good players that I was introduced to as little Mark Simon, age 6, age 7. But this was a little bit before that. This was George Foster, the prospect, the giant, who was viewed in a very favorable light, particularly by his teammates, who seemed to think that he was going to be a future star. And the Giants make this trade. They get 2 non-entities basically in return. And after the game that was played on this date, or yesterday, I guess 50 years ago, you've got William McCovey saying there's no telling what can happen in baseball. It's hard to figure all this out. You've got Bobby Bonds saying that George is a very promising player. I don't understand why he was traded. The team was just completely puzzled by this, and it took Foster a few years to really establish himself, but eventually the Giants really regretted that trade.
Well, they got Frank Duffy from Stanford back in the trade. Bernie Williams got left field. He didn't do well. Ken Henderson was struggling, and Foster went on to fame. And then Frank Duffy, he accompanied Gaylord Perry, believe it or not, to the Cleveland Indians after the 1971 season for Sam McDowell. And, Mark, you and I can do a whole show on that one. Well, look, it's great to have you on today. Giants, Dodgers, even though, you know, you're a New Yorker. Do you feel the Giant-Dodger rivalry? Can you feel it?
Yeah, we talked about this last week. I really feel it now after what happened last night. Like, I thought that the nice thing about that was it was the kind of game that would enhance the matchup between the two. And then I think tomorrow's can do that too, certainly, with the Aces going.
Yeah, Gausman and Kershaw tomorrow. We'll talk with you on Monday, Memorial Day. But Mark Simon, always a pleasure. Mark A. Simon says on Twitter. And it's Mark at Sports Info Solutions. Mark, great stuff. I appreciate it. Have a great day.
You got it. Thanks, Marty.
All right, more coming up right after this. KMBR 104.5 and 680, the sports leader.